Have y'all watched the Fox television program 911? Have we talked about this?
Nope.
I am aware of it from watching Fox sports broadcasts.
Yeah.
That's about where I would say the average baseline America's level. So this show is in its fifth season. It stars, among other people, Peter Krause, who I'm pretty sure has multiple Emmy nominations at least, and I think one win at least for 6 Feet Under, you know, decades-long body of work on stage and screen, and Angela Bassett, who after putting out nonstop bangers since the 90s, finally got the Oscar nomination for just the boring Black Panther sequel where she plays the understudy to an anti-vaxxer, but whatever, give her her trophy. She gets an Oscar nomination this morning. I went and looked, and 911, which is a show that I will put on sometimes, and Spencer will put on sometimes, because it's the kind of the show where they're like, it's November, let's put a volcano under the Santa Monica Ferris wheel. And, you know, sure, that's something I'll watch. And I'm sitting here, and I'm like, you know, it's not COVID anymore. These aren't, you know, you can leave the back lot and go do other things. The show is not good. Like, it's not even bad good. It's right. Not that, it's not even like a compelling hate watch. But it's got Peter Krause and Angela Bassett in it. And I'm just like, why? And I sat there this morning as I'm tootling through this, and I'm like, well, I mean, there are 87 episodes in, so I guess is syndication at the 100 episode mark still a thing? They'll have Fox syndication money, and, you know, it's not like wardrobe's a challenge. They just show up and they put on their little fireman suits. And that's when I realized that 911 is Angela Bassett's full cast.
In that it's good to enjoy while you're waiting for your car at a Pep Boys.
And that I'm like, everyone on the show should be doing something else. Sure. And they're not for a really long time.
Sure.
But everyone on this show is demonstrably better than what they're bringing to the show.
This is like when Mandy Patinkin was on Criminal Minds, and it was like,
yes!
Mandy Patinkin, why are you doing that?
Well, okay, Mandy Patinkin was on Criminal Minds because he's so batshit that nobody on Broadway wanted to work with him anymore. Sure. But that's like another three episodes.
Yeah, right.
But like, and like, Peter Krause is taking this very seriously, and he is pretty much alone in the cast of people who are taking this seriously. And Angela Bassett, like, she's doing like this cat. She's a pro man, but she's bringing this like Katharine Hepburn, circa the Aviator voice to it.
Bobby,
like her, her entire. I can't really, Cerber. You could probably explain this better than me, but like. You know when you fill up your entire chest and your entire head cavity to create that like operatic resonance when you're singing? She talks that way on the show, but she's like a firefighter.
Are you trying to tell me that this man...
We have to find this boy!
...has fireworks up his ass?
Fireworks up his ass! It's that level of... And, you know, Peter Krause is, like, clenching his jaw, and also... But also, he's a fireman, so he's in, like, a short-sleeve dress shirt. And... But then it's never really made sense to me, and I'm just kind of fascinated with it, so I will watch it whenever it's on. But I realized this morning this is their full cast, and I'm done hating on it.
They make up plots like we do. Like, literally.
They really
would just go around the circle, and they'd be like, what about... And there's always one guy in the room who's like... So there's this dumb bitch. All right, so like,
oh yeah, they have a Gronk.
Like three disasters, and there's always like, some guy in the room who's like, so there's this dumb bitch, and she just got Botox, but they put too much, so she's poison, and she's driving her big stupid car, and it goes right into a kindergarten.
Oh, Tammy Taylor inexplicably narrated the show for the first season and then bailed, and they got Jennifer Love Hewitt to replace her.
Fuck yeah!
Is this like a Ryan Murphy, Amy Serafino like cross-world spinoff?
This is a Ryan Murphy production, but this is Ryan Murphy producing with. Like that dude that Gwyneth Paltrow was married to for a minute, not the Coldplay guy, the other one. But I finally realized, like, this is what Ryan Murphy thinks straight people shows are.
He's not wrong.
Like, no, but like seeing it through a Ryan Murphy, when you realize you're seeing it through a Ryan Murphy lens, you're like huh, we are like this.
The Rob Lowe incarnation in particular is
there's a Texas spinoff, 911 Lone Star. That is the one that has the volcano in Texas. I highly recommend watching just this arc.
Please tell me it's airs on USA Network.
Where did
it's
they
on
know?
Fox.
It's also on Fox. This is on regular ass Fox.
Spiritually, yes, Serper. Okay. But
yeah,
the Texas actually, volcano you're asking about, Jason. Yes. Yeah. Where did that air? From?
Hoyt yeah. from True Blood is in. There are no non-recognized faces in any of these, and it's a combination of genuinely famous and lauded actors. And hey, it's that guys. And listen, just I've come to a completely new place with it in the last like 4 hours since I realized that Angela Bassett has a full cast.
That's nice for her. I'm happy.
Stars are just like us.
What's the plot this week? So there's this dumb bitch. Yeah. She's got a hot air balloon.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
She hates her husband.
I forgot. There's a gay 911 dispatcher who is like this guy must have lost a bet to Ryan Murphy. Because this is his entire voice for the entire show.
A major character gets a piece of rebar through his face in the first season, and he's totally fine. The Rob Lowe character has had cancer like 400 times. He might have it right now on the show. I don't know.
No, he does, and he's hiding it from his son.
He's hiding it, but he's treating it.
Who is also a firefighter.
Not. Yeah. Like, everybody has, like, you know, most characters, you're like, they have an inner struggle. 911 characters are like, yes.
Sorry, I got to stop you right here. I didn't actually set out to explain 911. I just wanted to posit the theory that Angela Bassett has a full cast.
Yeah, but they just show up and they just make up a plot every week, exactly like we do.
Anyway, happy Oscar nominations to mostly Angela Bassett, but also to some other people.
Think she'll
Michelle
get an
Yeoh,
Emmy
welcome
for this
to the club.
One, though?
She's got multiple Emmys. I don't think any of them are for this.
Bobby, Michelle Yeoh is stuck in a pipe.
911 Lone Star has one Emmy nomination in its history, and it's for outstanding
is it for VFX?
Outstanding stunt coordination.
I know what that was. I know what that was. That was the pilot. Because in the pilot, this is too good to be CGI. In the pilot, there's like an exploding fertilizer warehouse, and you can see so many bodies flying through the air, and I bet you anything those are actual dudes.
So love the Texas volcano is in Austin near the airport.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which, you know.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
That's where you'd put it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this dumb bitch, and she's a volcano.
Listen.
And she's just all mess.
Okay, that's literally the story of Pele, but also, can we show some respect?
Yes. To the Shutdown Fullcast. Oh, I hear the lore horn. What a lore heavy episode this is going to be. But in what direction? The lore horn will not say. You will have to wait and discover with the rest of us here on the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall, joined as always by Ryan Nanny, Jason Kirk, Holly
Hello.
Anderson, and Michael Server on
Hello.
The ones and twos. Random hellos are the best.
Hi.
Not random at all. They happen
nope.
when you say
nope.
their names.
Yep.
The set them all.
Random. Totally.
That's
not
what people do.
Totally
set
not.
Them right there.
Totally not a work of chaos, Spencer.
Chaos, you say? We'll come back to that. We'll bookmark that notion.
No, we should keep going in that direction right now. This episode isn't about anything else.
Well, I did want to open with one congratulations. A note of congratulations to Holly, whose coach has been extended for 6 years after beating the University of Alabama. I was wondering if you had
Wait,
any,
he has?
Yes, I want to say if you had any comfort, $9 million a year. Josh Heupel will be making $9 million a year. I wanted to know if you had any commentary on that.
This is an ambush. Do I have any commentary?
Tell the Cowboys.
Oh, but it was too soon to come back to that after being.
Yeah,
sold.
that was a
Ooh.
Big move on your part. You okay?
Big swing. Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm looking directly behind you at the Spencer. Will you tell the audience what is located behind you
located
on the walls of our studio?
Located behind me in the walls of the studio is a picture of a Tennessee fan atop the toppled goalpost from the Alabama-Tennessee postgame after Tennessee.
It's a very large photo.
The Alabama Crimson Tide for the first time since 2005. This year,
He'd be Bama. It's not like they're going to give the money to the school. Write the checks. Fine.
It's that trickle-down economy. Josh Heupel stops by the Waggles.
He gets
a case of Mountain Dew. That Mountain
Can we
Dew
have
is,
created anything more entertaining than the bass recorder falling directly onto its duck pot?
No. This is the Fibber McGee and Molly of Studios. I'm very happy that we've built it this way.
Are you to the boxcar children?
Yes.
Have you met Spencer? Yes. Mm-hmm. This is what happens if the grandpa never shows up. Or that one little... Who's the real dumb boxcar kid who wouldn't stop eating blueberries?
Listen, we've all been there.
That one just goes back into the woods.
They're very good for you.
Bobby Boxcar, the antioxidant king of wherever the fuck they are.
Look at this heart-healthy nerd.
Let's make fun of him. The bass recorder. Will you pick up the bass recorder? I can't reach it.
I will pick up the bass recorder.
It's rolled. How did it roll?
That and the only other bit of college football news I wanted to touch on was Alabama fans have somebody new to blame because Bill O'Brien is going to be the New England Patriots' new offensive coordinator.
No. Uh-huh. What?
And leaving Alabama fans someone new to blame.
Only one man can unlock Mac Jones.
Okay, who's going to listen? Who's going to roll? Who's going to let's all pick a coach. Dan Enos. So I'm taking. Don't tell me what side of the ball he coaches.
What? Wait, isn't Dan Enos already being bandied about for some other job?
No, Arkansas offensive coordinator.
Did he take the job, or is it just
Arkansas again?
Yeah.
You can't do this to Chris Driver.
They did that.
You actually can't do this to Chris Driver. Oh my God.
John Gruden.
Ooh.
Ooh. I know it's the wrong side of the ball, and I don't care.
Do I have to pick again? Because
I mean, they do need a DC too at this point. So
no, you don't have to pick again.
John and Jay Gruden.
Jim Levitt
could swoop in and steal him. Who wouldn't want to?
That's a great point.
Who wouldn't want to declare war over that?
Scott Leffler. Nick decides that he's becoming too much of a threat to King Bowling Green to an actual bowl, and he just makes him an offer he can't refuse.
I think Nick is going to send agents to Thailand and bring home the rapidly aging Cliff Kingsbury from the clutches of M. Bison.
I do like that Cliff Kingsbury was like, I'm going to Thailand. And the NFL was quickly like, all right, well, everybody's going to move on. Not one person was like, wait, no, stop.
Come get me.
But I have an offer first.
One very specific community was like, no, stop, but I'm going to let that community speak for itself. And they will when they hear this episode.
I wonder how, he didn't go to Thailand, right? Like, I offered him to Thailand.
Why would you think he wouldn't go to Thailand?
Why would Cliff Kingsbury lie about Thailand?
Because he's a coach.
He doesn't have the hips to carry a sarong.
Are they known for lying about Thailand?
That's, you know what? That is actually Coach 101. It was like, okay, Here's two things you need to do. One, you need to use a lot of jargon. And two, you got to lie about going to Thailand.
You know, I believe in win land or lose land.
Oh, yeah.
That's See? Not going to have any part with that.
Thailand is too perineal.
Yeah. Thailand is like, that's like kissing your sister. Thailand.
Oh, man. So he's held there as prison by M. Bison as a Thai fighter.
Wow.
Is Ryan frozen?
I think he's just disgusted.
Yeah. They're not.
No, he's frozen. Okay.
Cliff Kingsbury at Alabama would.
He looks so. He looks so introspective before he left.
Oh, God. It'd be an absolute disaster. Which is why I'm. What? Third and one at the goal. Third and goal. One on the one.
Six wide.
Six. The six wide QB draw that somehow fails. That's what would happen.
I mean, Saban and Kiffin got along great for several minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the reason that I know it existed before, but the only talking to the media twice a year rule. You cannot convince me that there's some sort of time travel justification for him instituting that rule as a result of having Lane Kiffin on his staff, right?
Yeah. He knew it would happen.
Eventually he's like, I will have Lane Kiffin on my staff. I know this is going to happen. I cannot abide.
Foolishness. He got his job as a head coach and he looked around and saw a 17-year-old named Lane Kiffin. He was like, oh no, oh God. that things.
Yeah, Lane, you thought you were recruiting weirdly early.
Yeah,
I think it happened when he saw Kiffin fire his dad and was like, "Now I don't have a son, but I want to make sure this never happens to me. I can't do Nick. God,
he does slide into Hank Hill pretty easily if you're not careful. I don't know. My pick for this is still Brian Ferentz. I'm just going to say that Alabama football's lost its way. They need to reconnect with good old-fashioned, grounded,
reject modernity.
Reject modernity. Embrace. Establish the run. Establish the run. What cures all of our ills?
Taking T-Town to Pound Town.
That's right. That's right. Do you think the tide gives up when the beach don't move after one wave? No.
Tides do. They go away and then they come back.
Yeah, well, they just keep coming.
That's tides do at all.
That's called punting, and you know flipping who's the best at that is Brian Ferentz.
That's right. We flip the field. Sometimes we're on our own 20, and sometimes they're on their own 40.
Oh, my God. Jerry Jones is going to blame their kicking prowess on too many women on their periods being inside the stadium.
What?
The power of the moon. It pulled the ball. This is why you can't let him in.
I'm not going to blame Kellen Moore for anything.
Kellen Moore is a blameless angel.
This is how I know neither of you is a Cowboys fan.
That's correct.
Then again, that play looked like Boise State football ran through an AI art machine.
What happens if you add
Boise State football.
What happens if you add one more eye to AI? What do you get, boys?
A11.
God damn it. Just dangling off the edge of a cliff.
AII.
By my goddamn fingernails.
This week on 911.
See, there's this dumb bitch who needs one play.
There's this dumb bitch on a podcast.
His name is Ryan.
This dumb bitch is coaching the Cowboys, and he needs one play. Yeah, I thought that play was awesome because it got Ezekiel Elliott annihilated. That's really set up that whole thing just to watch him get completely destroyed.
Yeah.
As if like his decline as a running back wasn't already apparent enough. They're like, no, humiliate him. We're not winning this game.
My favorite rejoinder to this play has been people who have been like, well, what play do you have in the book? Like, there is no play here that's going to get you a touchdown. Yeah. The fact that you're in this situation at all is also a big fucking problem, isn't it? Looks like you shouldn't have done that.
That's actually the coachliest thing to say, is why were you in that position in the first place?
Yes.
Like, also, if you want to do something that wacky, there are other ways to do it that don't involve one running back trying to block whoever is approaching, that don't involve an entire offensive line standing by the sideline like cows along the side of a highway, not doing anything. What were they supposed to be doing? If you're going to do that, put 10 fast guys on the field. Don't just have your offensive line move to the side. That is the strangest part for me.
Everything about the Cowboys is magical. Everything.
I love being down 7 points and punting on the 4th and 10 because, yeah, I mean, it's like there is a way that that can work, and it's not a terrible call, but it is the loser call when you're like, what are you going to do? Well, we'll stop this team that really likes to run the ball. And then that's been beating our ass all
historically
day long.
How's that? Right.
Yeah, it's just never the way to go. It's never the way to go. Take the 4th and 10. Do something. Like, it
doesn't
always
matter. What a loss to the Birds this week anyway.
That's right. Go Birds.
For
go
you,
Birds.
Penny. All for you.
Go Birds.
Fucking
destroyed the Giants.
Spontaneously re-ranking.
Brian, can we get an update on the levels of atmospheric Vikings fraud? Have you taken any readings today?
Just fucking astounding at this. Like, stay indoors. If you go outside, put on several masks and a poncho, you'll get covered in Vikings fraud because the Vikings are the biggest fucking fraud ever. And the fact that serious football people allowed the fact that the Giants barely beat the Vikings, thanks to Kirk Cousins deciding that 3 yards is enough on 4th and 8, somehow twisted that into, oh, now they're going to beat the team that beat them twice because they'll have the element of surprise. No one will see this coming. Like, fucking get out of here.
Yeah. Oh, wow, cool. The Giants, like 16 previous teams, were better than the Vikings. That happens every week.
The Colts were better than the Vikings. They just forgot.
They're the one I left off the list.
This is an unserious sport run by unserious people.
Yeah,
there are a lot of unserious.
The only available conclusion.
I wanted to re-rank Alabama quarterbacks really quickly in light of the new data sure. we have. By the way,
Jalen Hurts.
Number one is Blake Sims. Blake Sims all time. Number one Alabama quarterback.
Number two, Jay Barker.
Number two is Jalen Hurts. I think that's pretty Cooper obvious Batman. At this point. Number three is Cooper Bateman. Yeah.
Copper AKA Batman.
Copper Batman.
Go Vols.
Yeah. Number four, Jacob Coker, the legend, the god, wow. Jake Coker.
Is Tua going to make the cut?
No. Because wow. number five's Freddie Kitchens. There we go. There's our top five.
SEC hunk. Damn. Spencer Hall denies Ken Stabler top five Bama quarterback status.
Dishonors dead snake. If I wanted to dishonor a dead snake, I'd go on Hand in the Dirt.
Sorry.
They won't bury it.
Sorry, Kenny's got to prove it against real competition. Wow. He's got to come back.
Yeah. Wow. Now we're talking.
Yeah. Some people will say.
Last of Us spoilers.
What did Cooper Bateman do to justify such a high ranking? And I'm like, he got obliterated as hard as I've ever seen any Alabama quarterback, and that's what an Alabama quarterback should do. Take hits and shut up and play. That's what Cooper Bateman did. Roll Tide.
What are you, the Dolphins medical staff? Jesus.
In that case, you rank Tua pretty high.
Tua at this point is more of like mercury poisoning Batman. That might just be Batman.
Yeah. That's all I had.
I didn't have anything else to talk about. Are we done?
No.
Oh, shit.
We are so not done. Because this is the offseason. And in the offseason,
I couldn't tell.
We could keep talking about the NFL or we could do this other thing.
Oh, man. No, I am warning the listener. We are about to take as deep a dive into the dark, murky depths of nerdery and dorkdom as this podcast has ever taken. That's right. We are about to discuss something that is even more lore heavy than this podcast. Even more, I think, as heavy or perhaps more lore heavy than college football itself. A sport with infinite lore in any direction. Jason, you and I have become afflicted with a fondness for what is called Warhammer 40K.
Uh-huh.
And which has been almost a year.
Real quick clarifying question. Which of you was first to this? I think it was... Okay.
Well...
Didn't it get...
So, I was going to say, I thought it was an episode.
There's multiple avenues and tendrils into this fandom.
Yep.
There's the crafting, there's the actual game, and then there's the lore. And I don't know who was first. I know for years, one of my favorite knockoff Wikipedia wormholes has been the Warhammer lore... what is the best noun for it? Repository?
Vault.
Septic tank? Because, like, just the craziest shit anyone can imagine. Like, the type of fanfic that people write, like, this would be fucked up. Yeah, that's in an actual book. So, like, I've loved reading that shit for years. As far as who actually got into it and started spending money on it, that was unquestionably Spencer.
But you were the first to have a specific episode
right around Christmas last year where you guys were like, we should get into Warhammer next year.
Right, yeah.
But I think Jason is the first to have the lore poisoning.
I think that's correct because my kids got me into the lore. Okay.
And you have now surpassed your kids with regards to the craft.
That is correct.
So what is it you two have cooked up for not just us, but the listeners today?
I'm afraid
thousands of people must listen to the following.
You have no choice.
Listen, the amount of people who asked us for a Warhammer episode in
terrifying.
The months since that last year's episode has been frankly shocking.
Your car doors have been locked and your audio device cannot be turned off at this point.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Ryan and I are in here too, so
think of this as a Tesla where instead of fire consuming your body, nerdery is about to saturate your entire body. You're being driven on fire with...
We really should have had Emily on.
Well,
because I wanted... The last time I talked to Jason's wife was New Year's Eve, and we were discussing how Warhammer has slowly swept through the dads of our immediate social circle. And she didn't exact. I know this is, I'm cribbing Bill Connolly. She didn't exactly say, "I'm just glad they're getting fresh air," but that's what she meant.
That's really what she meant.
She's very glad that they have hobbies.
Yeah, it's like, well, at least it's creative.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least
I have seen the artwork that you both have done, and I'm not doing a bit. It's extremely creative. Like they've, I don't have a scale on which to grade this. I have seen the work that both of you have done in painting these little minifigs. It's very good.
Well, thank you.
Like it looks like an artist did it.
Because one artist did.
That's right. Yeah. Two of them, actually.
No, this is the thing. I want to, in case anybody thinks that we're just going to drag this game for, I don't know, 90 additional minutes on top of the 35 we've already spent dicking around. Like, you guys have not only dived into this in the past year, you've gotten really good at it.
But thank you. This was,
and I've never even played the game.
I've
never seen you play the game either.
I played tabletop like 5 times.
Okay,
this is about Jason. Yeah, to be clear, this is about painting the dolls.
Jason, are you ever going to play the game in your mind?
Probably the next time I go to Spencer's to use his new drill that can make bullet holes, I'll bring over all my soldiers and we'll play a game.
It's a tiny little.
Is it like a dentist drill?
No, it's like a tiny little
like a
drill.
Dremel.
Like no, it's like it's like a screwdriver, but just with a drill bit on the end, and you just turn it, and that's how you make lovely bullet
an
holes.
Auger. In, you have an auger.
I need so many bullet holes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Make some bullet holes in your dreadnoughts, just for realism's sake, because we care about detail, Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what we're going to do today is, because the streets need this, okay? we're going to... Uh-huh. We were originally just going to do teams, we're going to tell you how this all works via explaining which team would be which faction.
Did this veer completely out of control?
We have an additional
factor we will reveal as we go.
Okay. and I will say,
Spencer,
this
do you have the I made a note about which order we should do these in. Do you remember that note?
I will follow your order.
Okay.
Because you go through the order.
We will time go stamp,
in that case
up.
We will go mostly alphabetical. All right.
Mostly alphabetical. I will also say this: Amazon's about to spend a shitload of money putting Henry Cavill in what I guarantee
rightfully
will be,
so.
What I guarantee will be like, there's no way they're ever going to make money back on this. None. What we're going to try to explain here is too arcane. There's 40 years worth of this because it started as this like way to sell miniatures.
Well, they deserve, because did you see the showrunners of the Witcher series came out like yesterday and said we were not considering, it was unequivocal. They're like, we were absolutely not considering putting Henry Cavill back in the Witcher. I'm like, I am not considering watching any more of it, so fuck off.
So you're telling me Jeff Bezos, at this point in his life, has said, you know what I need? A super expensive Warhammer TV series and the Washington Commanders. Those are the two things.
This is the point that I made on the show earlier about the Lord of the Rings show. Mm-hmm. This thing is it's not necessarily good. It's fucking dripping with money. It's the most expensive looking thing I've ever seen.
So just to set the table a little bit, the lore universe here, 40,000 years in the future, and I think the reason Bezos is interested, because just like the Commanders, what we have here is a situation in which every side is pitted and perfectly balanced in lots of fucked up ways to just fight and fight and fight and fight. No one will ever win. Everything is fucked up. The grass sucks. The turf is terrible. If you walk wrong, your leg will fall off. That's just like the Washington NFL franchise. It's just endless war in every direction in the grim, dark future of the 41st millennium.
That's right.
Just like the NFC East, except for the Eagles.
Go Birds.
In the fall of waning years of a once great empire. Yeah, British people came up with this. Why are you asking?
Yeah. Pay attention throughout. Anything that sounds like, oh, that's kind of satirical. Yes, it's completely dead on the nose, ruthlessly satirical all throughout.
I will tell you, at one point, we'll encounter some people where you go, those just sound like terrible English soccer fans. Yes.
Wait, there's terrible... They made a space army of English soccer fans?
I played them, yes.
I was going to say...
Wait, what?
I'm betting
that's what the orcs are.
We will get to them.
We'll get to them.
One last thing. to give the listener a sense of what they're about to get into, how many teams slash armies slash factions, whatever, are we, like, how long is this list?
Right. Ryan, if I told you there are 10, would that sound like a lot?
No.
Not in Warhammer, it wouldn't.
Good, because there's 20.
Okay.
Technically, there's dozens and dozens more, but we'll hit 20.
Right. Okay.
Yes, we'll hit it at least 20. I have some.
These are the 20 you can
too.
Play yeah. as without making your own rules, basically.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Okay.
Great.
Okay.
Let's begin.
All right. So, magical first times. Up, speaking of Henry Cavill, let's start with that. He's a good entry point. Henry Cavill's army is the Adeptus Custodes, these big golden bodyguards of the Emperor. Spencer, can you explain who the Emperor is and reveal your college football comp?
Yes, the Emperor is the giant telepathic, like immortal, well, not quite immortal, almost immortal leader of humanity who united everybody and then reigned for like 10,000 years and then got crippled by one of his sons and now reigns across this horrible universe and religious cult from atop a throne that keeps him alive only with the sacrifice of thousands of telepaths and psychers every single day.
I do see why this appeals to you.
Yeah.
See how fucked up it is? Yeah. And also, my favorite detail about him is he got all fucked up on atheism and tried to ban religion throughout the galaxy, and now everyone thinks he's God.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, when that happens.
Happens to the best of us.
That's it. So, yes, that is. And he has these bodyguards who are basically like giant, perfectly genetically engineered super soldiers clad in gold who are like, you know, 9 feet tall and beautiful. But they don't go anywhere, Jason.
Yeah.
All right? They don't go on the road. They don't travel. And they have a big reputation and they rarely back it up, which is why I've decided the Adeptus Custodes are Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, so their uniforms sound really cool, but kind of look really stupid.
That's correct.
They just They're sort really of stand around at, in one place. And
yeah.
I think, I mean, from what little I understand, I think
Who's
the fact
the emperor
that
in this scenario?
Is it Steve Spurrier, I think?
Okay. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He just sort of sits there.
Oh, that makes his
Look at my cool toilet, Grandpa.
He would love that job. All you do is sit there.
Well, but yeah. Can you see him like back and forth, up and forth over some GA's toe just because he can? Like,
well, physically he's in the chair, but mentally he's actually in the warp defending humanity from
demons.
So the
warp is Augusta.
The warp
so
is
the
Augusta.
Warp,
yeah.
Now that's space hell, space and hell, it's also yeah. the best highway through space. You got to go through hell to go fight war in which you will die and go to hell.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Emperor's brain is how you get through hell. Grown-ups yes. wrote all of this.
Grown-ups
wrote
all of it. I was
going to say, can we write a Warhammer book in the off-season?
You can.
Probably.
We're doing it right now.
Probably. Yeah.
If we each just wrote a page and passed it on to the next person.
Yes.
The shit is so dark and depraved that the fandom has basically accepted Event Horizon as a prequel. Everyone has just decided.
Yo!
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway. So, all right. Comparing these factions to college football teams, that is one leg of our journey here. I will also be calling back to a popular Fullcast episode. I will also have biblical comparisons for each of these. The Adeptus Custodes, these big golden guys with swords who stand around, and they're very terrifying to look at and all that. This is so there's this thing on the internet, biblically accurate angels, right? When we think of that, we think of like wheelie eyeball monsters and blah, blah, blah. But like the Bible has lots and lots and lots of different kinds of angels. And most often they are big guys who stand around holding swords and looking at the throne and being scary Adeptus Custodes.
It's summer. Major League Baseball's in full swing, and there's one app for you if you want last-minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless, and GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life, and I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little bit called The Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right, even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute because GameTime.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
All right, so Useless Angel Tim Tebow. Yep, all this lines up.
Oh man, yes. He really is custodian.
I shaped. Can totally picture this.
Also we're going to go meta on this. Mm-hmm. There is a satirical Warhammer series called Emperor Text to Speech where some of the custodians are deranged circuit boys, very Gainesville, Florida, very Florida Gators.
Good.
Next up, one of my favorites, Adeptus Mechanicus.
The flesh disgusts me. I did not know how weak I was until I saw the genius of the Omnis. Yeah, these are guys who basically live on Mars, looked at humanity, and they're like, you guys are weak as fuck. We're going to become robots, and we're going to worship a machine god who also happens to be the emperor, but not really. But we're just going to compromise because we make all your shit. Everyone on Mars is a half-machine dude who worships a machine god who makes all the tanks for the Imperium. So that's how they get along, and they're not committing heresy by merely existing, is they make all their shit.
They're like deeply Gnostic space capitalists.
Yeah.
They're like the Apple, Google, Amazon, but everything is like fucked up steampunk militarist, and they have their own little religion that like they don't tell anyone about.
Who the fuck is this supposed to be?
They're awesome. My favorite thing about them is they love Mars. They think it's the best and prettiest planet. They have fucked it up with factories all the way down to the core and into space. Like they have turned Mars into like nuclear hell. Mm-hmm. Whenever they go to a new planet, they terraform it into nuclear hell Mars.
Because they're like beautiful, perfect,
perfect.
This is awesome.
Now it's I love it now.
And they're the only ones in this universe who, when they're getting their ass whipped by somebody, it's like, this is illogical. Like, run the calculations. Like, they're getting their head beat in, and they're like, the math checks out. I don't get this. So, I would ask you, unregulated industry, right? Dusty climb, cult, hardcore mm-hmm. fucking cult okay. that will mm-hmm. deform itself in order to achieve what they deem perfection in an uneasy alliance with everybody around them and all of their partners. And on top of all that, their win-loss record's not that great, despite all the math checking out.
I think I know where you're going here.
Can I add two details? Just mm-hmm. I haven't looked at your list. I think I have Dark Red.
This is correct.
And shitting money that they don't have anything good okay. to do with.
And technically proficient. Very, okay. very smart. Okay. And crazy. That is correct. Texas A&M. The Adeptus Mechanicus are 100% Texas A&M right down to the colors.
Mm-hmm. How does the dog fit into this?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Ryan, because the Adeptus Mechanicus, in addition to producing all of the weaponry, tanks, and equipment for the other armies of the Imperium, they have occasionally produced robot animals, okay? Or taken existing animals and made them into
roboticized.
Cyborgs. Yeah, including one that recently came out, which is like some sort of evil demonic robot horse, right? So we could have worked USC into this, right? But I'm just going to go ahead and say, robot dog, 100%. If you wanted to make Reveille live forever, you'd go to the Adeptus
Mechanicus. Reveille.
Yes, forever. Yes.
Miss Forev.
The Omnissiah approves. He likes it when we go 8-5. He likes it when we go 7-5.
So one other comp for AdMech, and the one that inspired me to do my entire stupid half of the list. Let me read you something from the AdMech credo. There is no truth in flesh, only betrayal. There is no strength in flesh, only weakness. There is no constancy in flesh, only decay. There is no certainty in flesh, but death. Other than the AdMech capitalism, militarism, and Gnosticism, I have just written something that could have come from the words of the Apostle Paul. No man has ever hated his body more than the Apostle Paul.
That is 100%
accurate. And been super annoying about it the entire time.
Oh, yeah. And then, like, written lines and lines of code about it, right? Like, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop. Bleep.
That also, I also like that selection because it reinforces the A&M thing. Because, like, Bevo is all flesh. Bevo is, like, oh, man, so much flesh.
Also, in a sense, as the disciples and apostles reconfigured themselves, at one point in there, Paul probably was the 12th man.
Oh,
there's some roster fiddling going on. he walked in. He said, "I'm the 12th, but now there's 13. Who are you? No, I'm 12th.
Yeah, Paul got stomped on the road.
Well, I went out in the middle of nowhere, saw some weird shit. Now I'm in charge.
Checks out.
Been to jail a few times. So what? Kick him.
Write you a letter about it.
Let's see. Next up, we have the, I've never heard the word out loud. Eldari.
The Eldari, yeah. The Eldari,
thank you.
Yes, the Eldari.
Now, how do you know that?
This
YouTube videos!
No, I'm asking. where's the
source,
pronunciation?
Source cited, okay? Citation. The Adeptus Ridiculus, that's the common pronunciation for the Eldari, okay? Because they use like
consume most of this via wikis and so forth. Spencer watches YouTube videos and listens to Adeptus Ridiculus. It's sort of the full cast of 40K.
Yes. Do any of us actually consult the original source materials for any of this?
No, not important.
Neither does anyone else. Not important.
This does sound like our kind of thing.
So the Eldari, a fallen empire of kind of like space elves, right? At one point they were great, but really prone to vice. They sort of accidentally became so decadent that they conjured a god into existence, and not a good one, but like a chaos god, the god of pleasure who utterly ruins you. So in other words, I looked at them and I thought, in the game, I don't understand why they're so good. Okay. They could be really great, but they were too busy just living the high life, making all that money, being successful, right? And the only comparison for me when it came to worshiping a graven idol was Texas. That's it. I decided Texas was the Eldari because, you know, like allegedly they were great. They never really lived up to it. Yes.
Does mentioning them back to back with the Mars Sexers mean that these two factions are rivals?
Not rivals.
Well, they are on opposing
extremely
sides.
Extremely not rivals.
In a sense, because it really, like, humanity, once the Eldar fall, humanity really takes off.
Okay.
So, like, yeah, it kind of goes. Because Adeptus Mechanicus, still technically human.
Okay.
All the humans hate all the aliens and everyone else.
It's like a Tom Lehrer song.
Most of the humans hate each other.
Eldari like freak? Like, are the Eldari back? Is that a thing that happens?
No.
Okay.
No. Like, but it's always like sort
that
of.
That is a helpful mnemonic.
Is that a narrative thing that happens in the Warhammer universe?
Yes.
Oh, the Eldari are back.
Like, it is very much like. Well, they. If they made some good alliances, they could seize power, they're just
always so close.
Yeah, they're just kind of done.
Okay.
They're just kind of done and like just successful, and it really didn't like ever make them any better. Very much like Texas.
No one remembers being happy about it. I think that's perfect. That's awesome. Mine is pretty simple. It's Egypt. Like, for Egypt fell basically before the Bible was written, and like still half of the Bible is about like, God, they're so rich, they're so powerful, they're so awesome. They just loom as this, like, the memory of Egypt is just looms over like the first at least third of the Bible. Next up, we have easily one of the 10 funniest, which is saying a lot. The Astra Militarum.
That is correct. The Astra Militarum. You need to know this.
Oh, thank you.
Astra Militarum is the main army of the Imperium. They are just dudes. That's it. I just wanted you to imagine dropping like 100 million dude planet with little lasers that are about as strong as a flashlight and being like, good luck.
They all I kind of like this.
They all they're fighting. They're basically the Red Army.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
They're fighting like demons, in the gods, monsters, and they're just guys wearing pants.
What do? You just throw some guy named Dave at it. Like, here you go. Good luck. Like, the average
I would make an army of all dudes named Dave.
The average lifespan of these guys is like 20 minutes. Like, they don't... like, when you play them on tabletop, you have like 100 of them, and they're like, yeah, they're all going to die in two rounds.
So these are the stormtroopers of Warhammer.
Yeah. Stormtroopers are... a lot of them don't have helmets.
I was going to say, stormtroopers have armor. Do you know what these guys have?
Pants.
Faith.
Attitude. Sunny attitude.
Great attitude. Okay. Right? Like, they have some of the... They are some of the funniest stories because
most
it's always,
improved.
Yeah, they are. They have all kinds of absolutely cool shit, but they're basically like, if you took the Red Army and you just supersized it for an entire galaxy, that's the Astra Militarum. But despite all that, they're actually super fearsome. Like, they are basically like... they
like
win
compies?
Yeah, they win a lot. They spit at you, right?
That's not what a compie is. God damn it. Jesus Christ.
The little lizards that overwhelm you.
Yeah.
Tell us you never read the book before the novelization without telling me you never read the book before the novelization.
Embarrassing. Yeah. You disgust me.
Cutting.
Anyway, so about
my
lore.
Florida was a good school.
Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry I didn't get your...
And you said you majored in Michael Crichton studies.
How did you go to Georgia Tech and you didn't read the Jurassic Park?
How did you get into Georgia Tech without reciting Sphere?
I went Warhammer Channel.
I bet you're a Congo kid.
Warhammer track. That's definitely a thing.
Spencer bad gorilla, though.
Spencer bad gorilla.
Spencer very bad gorilla.
That's a good gorilla. So the Astra Militarum are awesome. And they're really kind of like, for humans, I think the Astra Militarum are like, they're the champs. They are the champs. Like, they are, if you come back to it and you're like, I want to play as a human and I want to win the most and I want to get the most, like, the most of everything, right? They have the most shit. They get the most press. They get, they have the most numbers. Like, if you just want dudes, like waves and waves and waves of dudes, okay? Then you're going to 100%. And by the way, they have like actual mutants. Like, if you go like, oh man, I want like mutants. No, they have like these troll-sized guys named Ogryns who aren't very smart and can't count to five, but they are virtually indestructible for people, which means they last two turns instead of one.
They last 30 minutes.
They last 30 minutes instead of 20. If you want to win by numbers and you just want to absolutely swamp people, you want the Astra Militarum, which is why... they're Georgia. That's why. Numbers.
Oh, less attractive.
Numbers. Depth chart.
Everything you were saying to me just made me think of the Nebraska sellout streak, frankly. Where I was like, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Millions of people show up to be disappointed over and over and over and over.
Yeah, but the Astro
Yeah, and it's usually over within about 20 minutes. Yep, that sounds right.
The Georgia thing totally... The Georgia thing resonates with me because we are two national titles in, and I defy you to pin a personality like word cloud to this program that does not contain the word dude in 24-point font nothing else.
Also,
Go ahead. Well, here's a good point in Georgia's favor. They won a title, and they lost dozens of people. And then they won a title.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Also, how do they actually win? What
dudes.
What unites them? Dudes. What's the other thing that does it? A man in a stupid hat behind them, threatening them with their very lives, right?
And telling them lies.
We haven't heard about this guy yet.
I'm very excited.
There and fuck them up.
I'm very excited for the White House to invite Georgia. And for Kirby to be like, see, they won't even let the real elected president meet you. Look at this bullshit, this disrespect.
Who's disrespecting the Astra Militarum? We'll drop a tank on him. That's it. Okay. That's totally 100% the guard. Okay.
This also totally tracks with that one dude's father getting his finger amputated in a folding chair.
Yeah. That's very much like,
yeah,
Astra Militarum dude.
Now this tracks.
So yeah, endless depth chart. Generally, like winning titles, Astra Militarum.
They are, of course, they are canonically the parts of Revelation where like a million humans die at once. That's every guard story is just like, yeah, we lost like 30 million guys, but we won.
To go back a little bit, is part of the sort of like, well, lost a million dudes. Is that part of what the emperor needs to keep being to keep alive?
Oh no, this is a whole other list of sacrifices.
This isn't even a useful.
So if you're born and you're a telepath, there's a really good chance you will be sacrificed to keep the emperor's hell brain alive. If you're just a regular person, you will be handed a gun and told you're flying across the galaxy through the hell brain to go die in war.
Cool,
sick.
Yeah, this is how they sell toys to children.
Yeah, go dogs.
Up next we have, all right, so to this point we've talked about two factions. There's two big factions and then a bunch of alien factions. All the humans that we talked about so far, they're part of the Imperium, the big space fascist empire. The elves, they are one of the Xenos, aliens. Up next, we're going to hit a run, alphabetically, where we are going to talk about chaos. And the most basic place to talk about chaos will be the Chaos Daemons. Demons with an A, because this was written by English people.
Mm-hmm. Also, you got to put a little extra English on your demon. You're like, oh, that's just a demon. You're like, no, motherfucker, it's a daemon. Like, oh, yeah.
So, do you want to like briefly explain the four chaos gods, or at least the general concept of chaos?
I would like.
So, there's
to know.
Gods, by the way.
Mm-hmm. There are gods. Maybe you've heard this phrase, "blood for the blood god." Okay. Blood for the Blood God comes from Warhammer for the god Khorne. Khorne is the god.
Sorry, did you say Khorne?
Khorne.
Okay. All right.
With a spell it, please.
Yes.
With a K.
K-H. Because again, Ryan, you got to put a little extra angle.
Yeah,
on
yeah,
it,
yeah.
Right?
Sure.
You couldn't just be a demon. It's got to be a daemon. Couldn't be like Khorne. No.
It's got to be Khorne.
Right.
K-H-O-R-N-E. Khorne just wants blood. Khorne just wants killing. Khorne just wants sacrifice. In the form of violence. That's it. You can't just sacrifice people to Khorne. No, they got to die in battle. He's only interested in blood spilled in battle. Skull thrown, all that shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what, if you're going chaos, that's one of the gods you can you can choose to devote yourself to. But you have options. Hear us out first.
Yeah, no, you can shop around if you really just
want to. Wait, where are the gods?
Well, mainly they're in hell.
Is there
hell
like,
space.
Is this like
so they're in the warp?
Yes.
Yeah, mainly. I mean, they know, are in war and stuff.
What do you
mean
mainly? I don't understand.
Well, you know, you can be here and there.
Okay.
Everyone moves around.
Okay, sure. All right.
Ryan, just wait till a year from now when we both have our own doll armies.
Oh, fuck. All right, so you've got Khorne. I assume Fructose is next.
Yes.
That would be Nurgle.
Nurgle. So Nurgle is
classic Nurgle.
Nurgle is the best one because Nurgle is sort of the god of stagnation, of sickness. Like Nurgle is this big, fat, sort of green icon with like a mouth in his stomach, and he's
new Eminem is too far.
Yeah.
Make it not sexy. All right.
Make sure I can't bust ghosts.
His nickname on Warhammer fans is Papa Nurgle because he likes you just the way you are. Don't ever change.
The way you are, he means he will infect you with the most disgusting diseases imaginable and render it so you can't even feel them. So you're just a walking pile of fart cloud. And that's how you fight for him.
Like all of their guys, all of their troops and everything are awesome because they're like, fire the like pox gun. Like, basically, they are.
This is the gross boy army.
Gross boy army.
This is an army designed for 9-year-olds who, if you think like poop is the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah, like their leader, their Primarch Mortarian, is the coolest model. But honestly, he looks like something that flew out of your fridge, right, when you opened the wrong tub, right? Like he's just moldy and shitty. They make like 30 shades of green. For
these,
the line
these,
of paint
these,
for
these sound
things,
like the Mucinex, the Mucinex guys, like
yes, yeah.
but for grownups.
So we wrote Mucinex fanfic.
Kind of.
They did.
Mucinex and now there's guys toys with guns. For
it. Yeah, they'll just make like occasionally if you're reading a story where these guys are involved, it's like you'll read things like Lake of Pus, you know, like just horrible, gross shit. If you're a horrible, gross shit person, that's your
option.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Your third is Slaanesh. Slaanesh was brought into being by the lust and excess of the Eldari. Like they like literally like fucked and murdered Slaanesh into existence. Slaanesh was like, cool, I'm here, yo, and then just decided to, you know, keep recruiting with pleasure. And so if you're that person and you know it, congratulations, Slaanesh is your god. I'm going to leave the fourth one to Jason, because
I'll just say Slaanesh is where most of the like over the line fucked up fanfic is, so
yeah,
just don't go over there. The fourth chaos god would be my personal favorite, Tzeentch. With a T. Two T's. Is that confusing? Good. You're supposed to be. Everything's mm-hmm. going according to plan. Tzeentch is the god of fate, choice, chaos, ambition. And Tzeentch's whole thing is like everything it is or isn't or both. Tzeentch is masterminding behind the scenes. Tzeentch is represented with like birds that have like eyes for wings and then they don't. And like it's the funniest lore thing, because everything both is and isn't or wasn't or always will be Tzeentch's machinations. So like one of the like in jokes is all according to plan, which anything stupid that happens you can just say, yeah, that was Tzeentch.
If you've ever tried to make plans with me,
I was gonna say this is a very Spencer-y god.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I had to play...
The god of Spencer at the airport.
That is correct. For the podcast listener, that is all you need to know. Tzeentch? What is Tzeentch?
Wings.
The answer god is
of
a, yes.
To make Tzeentch it sound good, the god of the yes. timeless sky.
Yeah. The best part is if you're making the models and you just want to like turn a regular model and make it into a Tzeentch chaos thing, they're just like, glue another arm on it. You know, do you have a feather? Put a feather right in their head.
So is this also for like, no.
What you're wearing right now?
I'm wearing a shirt that says gravy. A sweatshirt that says gravy.
Just according to plan.
According to plan. Yeah. Tzeentch. Tzeentch kind of rules. Okay. Tzeentch is my second favorite chaos god. Korn is my favorite.
I think Tzeentch is the least problematic.
Yeah. Korn is my favorite because focus. What do you want? Blood spilled in battle. Just need blood. Blood.
Yeah. I value direct communications.
Yeah.
Korn. My so gods. Korn. Yeah. Korn, you know
we have
exactly.
A simple business.
It is agreed upon that Korn is the one you know where you stand. Where you stand is in hell, but you know where you stand.
Yeah.
Okay.
So cool. We say all that to say each of these gods, their ultimate goal is to turn you into a demon. Excuse me, a daemon. The daemons themselves are a playable faction, which brings us back to our little game.
So if I'm going to let you make your pick first, because I have to arrange, in my long list of things, I did not pick individual ones, but I have assorted factions. So you tell me the biblical match and I'll rematch. Okay.
So this one's pretty simple. This is what people think of when they think of biblically accurate angels, like fucked up wings and horns and eyes and all that shit. Yes. There are angels in the Bible that meet that description, but nowhere near as uniformly and unanimously as the internet seems to think.
Okay. I have, for Korn, it's a team that has red. It's a team that really doesn't care if they win or lose as long as they get to beat some ass. Okay? That's it. They just want blood. That's all they want. Sometimes they go to the Rose Bowl. That's cool. But we're really just here to hurt people. That's all we're here for. The Utah Utes are 100% Korn. Okay?
Good. Good.
They are 100% Korn.
Okay.
For Nurgle, in terms of rot, I will tell you that the Space Marines, corrupted most by Nurgle are the Death Guard. The Death Guard are these disgusting green Space Marines that they touch you and you just break out into boils and shit. Like, it's awful. They're just nasty. When you fight them, everything goes badly. They just drag you down into the muck. They turn everything into just like Mucinex ad. Just sickness. Like, if you just watch the football game and you go, God, it's like everyone forgot everything about how to use their bodies every single time they play. Which is why the Death Guard and Nurgle are pit. That's it. Just dragging everyone down into the swamp every single game, turning everything into dysfunction and ruin.
When you have eaten too many lunch meats.
That's it. Ah, nothing's moving. Oh, no. Yeah, that's Pitt. Everyone else may be like, that's me to Pitt. Pitt fans are nodding right now. And they're like, yep, that's us.
Also, my tummy hurts.
Yes. Also, my tummy hurts. If you want to know people who have been spoiled by success, people who like reached a little too far, I almost had Florida as the emperor's children, but because they were corrupted. I know, I wish. Corrupted by Slaanesh. So I would go ahead and say the ones that had been absolutely spoiled by this. Every time UCLA has gotten super close to success, they've fallen completely off the map. Like, completely. So it's either UCLA or Arizona State for one of those two.
Arizona State's really good. They get naked.
Yeah, because they're already devils,
like,
too,
Slaanesh.
Right?
Yeah,
so let's go ahead. Let's make the Emperor's Children and Slaanesh. Let's go ahead and make them Arizona State. And then finally for Tzeentch, the unknowable team, the mystery team, the team when you put your hand on them, they disappear and become a foot. Yes, that is to me Cal. Cal is Tzeentch. Whatever you think they're going to do.
What are they doing? I don't know. Is it on purpose?
Their very stadium is not a stadium, but a fault line, but is also a stadium.
It's 2 a.m. Am I really watching this? Maybe I am.
Yeah, maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. Are they going to win? It's irrelevant.
The screenshot of two refs pointing different ways is at a Cal game.
Because you know that Tzeentch has to be a Pac-12 team, right? It has to be a Pac-12
team.
That's
perfect. Sure.
Pick the one that's right on a fault line. It's Cal.
That's good. That's good. Let's see. All right. So next up, all right, let's get through the other uncomfortable fanfic, the Drukhari.
Oh boy.
don't go near this shit.
Unspeakable, right?
Yeah,
that's generally like unspeakable. Don't look at them. Don't want it. Bad history. God, let's see.
What are they?
So they're the evil elves.
Okay.
And by evil, they are of all these factions,
the
or at least a little
much?
Bit. Yeah. No, so no, of all these worse. Factions, they're all at least accidentally evil.
Okay.
These people are the most intentionally evil non-gods in the entire game.
Okay.
I would argue.
Yeah. What do they want?
Souls.
Just to make everyone else feel very bad.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
That's it. They're sustained by the misery of others.
Yeah, and I don't.
Okay.
Yeah,
feeling Miami here, but please go on.
No. That's who I have. I have Miami.
See,
all my friends are dead.
It's an easy game.
What did y'all do to get here? Don't ask.
The '80s, Miami in the '80s, and now they're paying for it. That's it. That's
yeah.
The story.
Like even the universes and galaxies that contain the Drukhari are like, I don't know. We'd rather not have this program.
Are they ever going to win again? No, not a chance. Because like no one will ally with them. They're stuck serving Slaanesh for all eternity. Like it's ugh.
I know this is going back, but I think this then would make the Big East the once mighty elf race that is never coming back.
Ooh,
never.
Right, learning. That's good. That's good. The proto elves. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Perfect. Oh, Big East, why did you fuck yourselves out of existence?
Oh, that's canon now.
Slaanesh showing up being like, so you like your little orange bowl, huh?
Where's Slaanesh from?
Somewhere in Maine.
Rhode Island.
Providence. Yeah. Oh, God.
From Fucktown, Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Oh, we're adding that to Mid-South Airlines.
It's called Fuckton.
Fuckton? Yeah, no, it's Fuckton. It's Fuckton. I know a couple. I know
it's
a nice girl.
It's pronounced France.
Yeah, I know a nasty girl from Buckton. Yeah. Fuckton.
So the biblical comp for the Drukhari is the way Israel talks about Canaan. Like, oh my God, over there they do the craziest shit. They eat babies. And it's like, I don't know, did they? I mean, they're just slandered for the rest of eternity because, like, maybe someone saw something like someone was eating a loaf of bread that was shaped like a baby and now forever, you know. So
that's king cake. What you're describing is king cake.
So when Kanan invented king cake, and the next thing you know, someone on the other side of the hill was like, they just made up a chaos god from Farkton, Rhode Island. Yeah, classic. And then they wrote it down in a book, and now everyone thinks that's that was the case.
Cool.
Next up, we have an exciting one, the Jean Stealer cults. Not jeans, as in stealing of the pants.
Thank you. Okay.
Yep.
Important distinction.
So I'm going to try to explain them as quickly as possible. Imagine if the aliens from Alien could come down, lay an egg in a person, but instead of just immediately bursting up, takes over their jeans, and they walk around going like, hey, you know who our friends are? It's probably the aliens. They seem like decent people. And then they have another round of kids, and they're all like, hey, you know who we really love? We're going to worship the aliens, and we're going to make sure that everything here is ready for you, okay? When you come down and you reclaim it. And then the third generation, they're just like mutant aliens. They're just like, you know, hey, finally, look, the good side of the family came out. We got you. And then you start messing things up, and like, they're basically this sort of like sleeper cell, right? And I thought, well, what are the college football fans who start off and they're like, hey, you know what? We seem pretty cool. And then later you're like, oh no, I've been sold a bill of goods. This is a problem. Baylor. Yeah.
That's like, good. That lines up with mine as well.
Yeah.
I think biblically this is like most of the history of Western Christianity.
Yes.
This is evangelism for the last 2000
right,
years.
Right, right.
The Jean Stealer cults, everyone disagrees. Everything in here is a satire, and a lot of it is either leftist or anti-imperialist, anti-capitalist, but the Jean Stealer is often considered either a satire of communism. A lot of it reads as a satire of religion to me, but...
An important note...
Communist Baylor.
An important note for the Baylor comparison is this. Ultimately, Jean Stealer cults are eaten by those they worship, right? That in the end, they're like, oh no! They're here to save us!
The bear with Dr. Pepper has escaped.
Right, the bear with Dr. Pepper has escaped.
We've made it ready for you, bear!
Right.
That's good. That's
really
good. We've
been drinking Dr. Pepper for so many years, so it'll taste delicious to you.
Unfortunately, we are now sweet.
Yes.
Bear dumplings.
That's kind of what happens to Baylor fans. Ultimately, yeah, it's going to turn on you.
Okay.
That's good.
I like this game.
Yeah.
Up next, the Grey Knights.
The Grey Knights. Okay. So the Grey Knights are a division of like the Space Marines, this Emperor's special soldiers, who just fight demons. And I thought, what team is successful, you know, like competent, and yet always appears to be fighting some sort of inner demon on the field, whether it's wrestling the clock with their coach who cannot manage shit, or fumbling, or having a quarterback who's good but also not good, and a defense that's impregnable but sometimes just commits huge busts, and generally, like, say, if I had to pick the Space Marines that were like an 8-10 win program but always had a baffling inner fight with demons going on at the same time while they're playing, and this is why they're Penn State. That's why Penn State.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was wire to wire.
Yeah. Because if you watch the James Franklin Penn State teams, you're like, I know these guys are good, but they look like shit. Or you go, God, these guys look like shit, but they're still winning.
It's more like, I know that they're good, but at what?
At what? Right. Like, and that to me, what would explain that if they were all at the same time while playing football, psychically battling a demon in their head? That to me is what everyone on the Penn State football team is doing at all times.
We are in hell.
Yeah, that's
the demon's name, Thon.
Yeah, so my biblical comp, I think people think like half the Bible is about like stabbing demons. There's like a verse or two, so we'll go with those. As for the Grey Knights, up next, a different kind of knights. They're also knights, but they're totally different. The former, those were like genetically engineered big guys. Now we're going to the Imperial Knights.
Yeah, so let's see. Imperial Knights, giant ancient robots that are kind of outdated but still good at what they do. when they are run by these like noblemen who really are allied to this like ancient order, so that when they walk in a room, they list their whole fucking pedigree. Like there's lore about like the knights walking in and being like, "I am Steve, Lord of Steveton, descended from," and then like 9 hours later, a servant finishes reading all of their like lineage, mm-hmm. like just pompous.
This is a robot like, that they're talking about.
Yeah,
they're mech pilots who are also right. like feudalists.
Okay, right. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, imagine I ride my beautiful noble steed that the peasants take care of, except the steed is this giant robot that I am also Pacific Rim psychically linked.
So if the royal family was all mechs, is what you're describing.
Correct. Okay. Yes. So like right. ancient order still.
Wait. You just described like ultra powerful mech horse girls.
Right. But not girls. But yeah,
right. Girls.
Oh. Yeah.
Unfortunately,
we go to war with the army we have. Okay.
If it were up to us, there would be horse girls, but we didn't write the material.
No. And I think that everybody generally agrees the Imperial Knights are cool, but like they're kind of pricey, and like, you know, and in terms of lore, they're kind of a pain in the ass, you know. But like they would be necessary to the sport of Warhammer. Right, because a lot of people think they're necessary to the sport of Warhammer
as an act of tradition, or
kind of, but also okay. because they do have some cool stuff, and they can be okay. really good. Right,
are you saying
but
so
they're the friend you don't like that much, but you're like, man, he's got a Super Nintendo.
You're saying Warhammer's just better when the Imperial Knights are good.
Okay, gotcha. Yep.
Notre Dame.
USC yeah. was where I thought you were going, but
no, I have a good,
USC
I have a
and Notre Dame are the same program. Don't tell anybody.
No, I'm very proud of my USC pick when we get to it. So you
look at my fancy old machine. Mm-hmm. I'm just exactly. giving Notre Dame that accent.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you see an Imperial
that
Knight,
that is what
you would
it sounds
like
in South.
Take on the field, the Imperial Knight, 40 feet tall, clanking down with its glorious.
Yeah, it's just.
It's not North Bend, so your accent is accurate.
Yeah,
yeah. Biblically speaking, this is of course Goliath, the biggest guy we've ever seen, who shows up and starts talking about how great he's always been.
Yeah, big gets fucking.
Look at my very expensive shiny bronze shit. Yeah,
and then gets beat mm-hmm. by the USF of the Bible.
Right, and then loses car. Oh, God, I mean, we got to go Marshall, I think. One little Marshall. Yeah. I mean, you have a lot of options. UConn.
We have options. Yeah. So, Imperial Knights, 100% Notre Dame.
Next up, one of the a new re-addition to the list. Another one of the funniest. The Leagues of Votann.
Dwarves. Basically, if we have to explain them, like Leagues of Votann are these like they're little short guys. They're kind of stocky. They got beards. They mine a lot. This may sound like you're like, oh man, it sounds like Warhammer just steals a bunch of IP from other existing franchises and puts them in space. That is correct. That's all they do. Is this cool? Yeah, it's cool as shit because you're like space dwarves with guns. That's and they have little dwarf jeeps too. It's really cool.
Sorry, they have jeeps.
Yeah, they have space jeeps.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yes. So, who are the Leagues of Votann? Okay, so kind of they are they unaligned? Yeah, they're unaligned. They're kind of their own little thing. They're not really with the Imperium. They deal with the Imperium, though. They schedule the Imperium, but they don't really deal with the Imperium. Are they powerful? They're pretty powerful. They've got their own little like lore. They're all part of they all sort of share this one sort of ancestral brain that has its own lore. Is sort of their thing. They're BYU. They're BYU.
They live out in the hills.
They live out in the hills. They trade with everybody, right? They trade with everybody, but they're kind of their own thing. So
a lot of beards, at least historically. Beards. These days, yeah, I was shaven, I think.
Yeah, like, you know, is there an Enoch in the house? 100% for BYU. And
is anyone in here named Asher? Yeah.
Asher. Yeah, it's that short guy with the little dwarf jeep over there. Yeah.
Micah and eight dwarves say yeah.
100%. That's Leagues of Votann.
That's good.
They're good. They're good though, by the way, too. Like I was like, okay, they have to be good. Yeah, Leagues of Votann are like if you play them, they're really good.
They're like if you translate the lore into the game, they really punch above their weight. Right. There's there's this small 100%. Independent nation that that just hangs. No one knows how, they just do. Which is basically Israel, like both historically and in the story of the Bible. Like it does not make any sense that this tiny nation survived among like gigantic empires washing back and forth across them. And they lived in the hills and had a lot of beards. Next up,
A very, very mighty empire in some ways. The Necrons.
So, like, imagine a space Terminator with Egyptian mythology.
Yep, already there. Gotcha. Okay.
I do all day.
Constantly.
You're there. Yeah.
He's a Stargate. Yeah.
Yeah, so
his name's Necrons, Toby. He rules.
The Necrons were a race of people that lived on a terrible little world. They killed their gods who had enslaved them and used the gods as, like, batteries, basically. Like, it's the best.
Normal.
If you want to know who gets... in a universe and a mythos where people get owned and races get owned constantly, like alien species and races get owned constantly, nobody gets owned harder than the guys that the Necrons turned into batteries for their shit. Okay. The Necrons went to sleep 60 million years ago because they knew that, like, they're like, oh, a bunch of other empires, the Eldari and everybody, we're just going to go to sleep. We're going to power down because we've transcended the flesh. I didn't mention the part where they turned themselves into Terminators and lost their souls. So. There's that.
I just assumed.
That's just, yeah. They look like Terminators. Like, if you want to know, like, they stole that. They were like, hey, Terminators are cool. We should put them in the game. And then we should turn them into, like, ancient Egyptians from space. That's really what we should do. The idea is that they're waking up. So they've been asleep a long time. They all have really deep, petty grudges against each other. Like, 60 million years.
This isn't Pit? Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
This sounds like that mistaken plot to Now You See Me.
They have an
that I had going in.
They have an ancient general that they
yeah,
all
yeah Morgan Freeman
that an ancient general who's sort of the linchpin of their like collective.
Is this
mythos.
Tennessee?
All God right. damn
and
it!
And they're starting to wake up.
It's Tennessee. It's totally Tennessee.
I wasn't really paying attention because it was Spencer's turn, mm-hmm. and thank
once
you
he said ancient general, I felt like that was gave it away.
Hell. No, sorry, I was too busy thinking about Now You See Me, as usual.
Also,
you
what get, is, you what get is
to
inside?
Be, but your team gets to be the space Terminators who this killed is, God and turned him into power.
Holly, this is both one of the best choices, one of the strongest empires in the game. They're often one of the best, and they look cool as shit. This is a great choice.
Do they
also,
have a
like,
navy?
Like, sometimes you kill them.
Space-wise, yeah, they have a space
yeah,
navy.
Okay, great.
Sometimes I am pleased.
Sometimes you kill them, and it doesn't matter. Like just okay. bounce, they just bounce.
They transfer their quote finger soul into a different robot body.
Sometimes yeah. you kill them and it doesn't matter is like the Florida-Tennessee rivalry for the last decade, basically. Correct.
You can't have a body factory without a body farm.
There we go.
So I suppose that
that's the other thing is that the Necrons, like the more I thought about it, the more it made sense. The Necrons live in what are called tomb worlds, and the tomb worlds are a bunch of sleeping Necrons, and I was like, well, who's got a tomb world on campus?
Hey.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
That is good. That is good.
Biblically speaking, this is, of course, Babylon, which was both very, very, very powerful, and a lot of the Bible is written in remembering when Babylon was powerful, but at the same time, the Bible is also terrified of the day when Babylon will reawaken and reconquer everything, and the Necrons are one of the very, very, very few factions that lore-wise could win. Like, if all of this were to resolve, the Necrons are probably the closest thing to a humanoid that has a shot.
Okay, good.
If they ever get their shit together.
Okay.
Next up, extremely doomed. Not as doomed as the Astra Militarum, but doomed nevertheless. The main characters of the entire operation, we went alphabetically, so it's good we're getting them at spot 15 or so, the Space Marines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have several to assign here, okay? One, Ultramarines. They wear blue. They're big on order and law. Like, they're literally the only people in the lore who are like, taxes are good. Like, they are the only neoliberal... Space Marine faction where things run well and they're all like super orderly and about logic and they have a mythical leader that they all follow. That's Michigan. Ultramarines are Michigan. Sure. They're 100%
yep.
like,
yep.
we're going to do things the right way. Right? So that's 100% the Ultramarines. Another space division, there is one that is called the Imperial Fists.
Also, Ultramarines is literally UM. So...
Wow. Yes.
Just right there.
Yeah, see? I hadn't actually thought about that because I'm not very smart, Ryan, so thank you.
You dumb bitch.
There's this dumb bitch, and he doesn't even know letters. And he's a writer. Imperial Fists, these are
I'm
guys
sorry,
who,
what?
Imperial Fists?
Yeah, what's the problem?
What's the problem? I'm sorry?
Not a problem, necessarily.
Yeah.
This is SMU on a good Friday.
The Imperial Fists are led by this like blockheaded dude named Dorn.
Leading a pony, yeah, yeah.
Okay, who's all about like, fortify, siege, we're going to fortify. I'm going to build a bigger, tougher wall. Are you ever going to attack? No, we're just gonna
hunker.
Defend.
This is a real hunker kind of program here.
This is very much a we will punt and let you beat your head.
Okay,
again.
Gotcha.
Also, their colors are yellow.
Yep.
Which is why that they're that just Iowa. Iowa is going to be the Imperial Fists because what are you?
It starts
do?
With an I. Look, see, I did the thing Ryan did.
Yeah, there you go.
Iowa Farmers Imperial Fists. That's what it means.
Illinois yeah. furious also, right now.
Yeah. Also, like just completely humorless blockhead football. Yes, that would be the Imperial Fists. So the Dark Angels are this like they're as close to the like Knights of the Round Table kind of thing. Like they have capes and they have their own secret little private club. They're 100% a private school, right? Where they're like, we have rites and ceremonies and you can't be a part of it. And you have to take us at our word that we're very successful. And they have been very successful in the past, but they also just spend long periods fucking off and not doing their job, right? This and they love intrigue and skullduggery and generally like doing everything except the thing they're supposed to do. That's why they're USC, right? Like, what should you be doing? Beating ass? What are you doing?
We're looking inside. At my cool sword. That's what
Let
I'm
me
doing.
Get my cool sword. Let me do knightly stuff. Har har. Yeah.
What have you done for the last decade?
What have you done for the last decade? We've been here drinking mead and doing ceremonies. Yes. That's 100% the Dark Angels. Because
but
they're
there
not
is a meteor faction, a meteor chapter.
There is. That would be the Space Wolves. The Space Wolves are like moron
so stupid.
Moron space Vikings who file their teeth to points and are like, ooh, so and they are stupid. All about like eating meat. And having like jolly times in the
Mind
old
you,
meeting
this
hall.
This is 40,000 years in the future, and people yes. are still cosplaying as Vikings with their lives on the line.
If they have a tank, it's like, that's the wolf tank. And they're like, do you have a bike? And they're like, that's the wolf bike. Right? What's that sword that you're carrying called? It's the wolf sword. Right? They're just all about sitting out in the cold and getting hammered and like having a great time. And having a mostly winning record. That's why they're Wisconsin.
Yep.
That's 100% the Space Wolves. That's them. The Blood Angels, the Blood Angels are very powerful. And they also have a dark secret, which is that they are vampires. I'm not going
LSU.
To explain.
LSU.
No, I have a better one for LSU.
Okay.
This is Ohio State. Right? Because you're like, that's Ohio State. 100%. Because...
Lots of protein. Need my protein, bro.
That's right. What has more
liquid
protein?
Supplements. Okay.
Yeah. What is more of a liquid supplement than blood?
The original liquid supplement.
Yes. Let's see. You wear like the Space Marines faction that wears green, and they're generally like they have no interest in their own well-being other than to go compete. That would be the Salamanders, and the Salamanders are Oregon. I'm going to go ahead and put them there because they're the fiery guys in green. So I'm going to go ahead and put them there. Admittedly, that's probably my weakest pick, but it's the only one that comes close.
Can I fortify that pick a little bit? These are the closest things among everyone we're going to talk about, the closest thing to good guys. They actually like give a shit about the people around them. They have families and like Puddles the duck, right? Give him a flamethrower and that is a tremendous salamander.
I mean, you probably could make that happen next year. Frankly, so
we'll put in the call.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I have the Iron Warriors, they are the rivals of the Imperial Fists. The Imperial Fists are all about fortify, no attack, and these guys are attack, no fortification. They are yin and yang, perfectly balanced rivals who hate each other to no end. That's why the Iron Warriors are Iowa State. And then I only have two more. There is a bunch. I did all of them, but I'm editing.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
So tired.
The Mongols.
I'm having a great time.
This is great.
The Mongols, basically, are called the White Scars, and they are just the dudes who go fast. That's it. That is their total. Like, if you want another MO, imagine space Mongols who go fast, ride bikes.
Is this what we want Warhammer to be?
Yeah, they're like, yeah, they're like, do we? They're like, what do you do? We live in the middle of nowhere on this like planet full of steps. And all we really like to do is get on the bikes and cut people's heads off. That's it. Do you fight for the Emperor? We're really just here for the speed. We're here to go zoom. That's the White Scars.
Lore note is that Genghis Khan is canonically a demon in the army of Khorne.
He's
the only human from Earth who is known to have made it into the 40K universe.
I accept this without
He's
questions.
Got a
Wait,
hat.
There's no, are you telling me there's no Toretto's?
That, well,
there's
possibly.
No Toretto's in Warhammer?
It's a big universe with trillions of people. But
Toretto's sound like they should be in this faction.
The demon that used to be Genghis Khan has been identified by his hat.
Yes.
Good for him.
That's great.
That's why
it's important to have a signature accessory.
That's why White Scars
be like,
are...
oh, and Bear Bryant's here too, also with his.
Probably. Now that's a commissar.
Hello, I'm Bear Bryant for Nurgle.
The commissars are the guys who stand. Oh. The guys in the military who are about to die. The guy standing behind them, telling them to die. That's commissar. Commissar Bryant. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Commissar Bryant.
Gotcha.
I need you boys to go out there and punch that demon in the face. We're going to show them what Bama's about.
No, wait. I think we're missing an obvious one that's right in front of us. It's in the name.
Mm.
Not even a state away.
Hmm.
Pat Dye.
Wow.
Pat Dye is 100% a devotee of corn. Yeah.
Lost his pants in a lake.
That's true.
Die for the Dye God.
Yeah,
so the go fast team,
that's Texas Tech, ran the most plays in NCAA okay. this year. Obscurantists who live kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and if you run into them on the wrong day, it's a very bad day very quickly. So I would go ahead and say they are 100% the White Scars. Raven Guard are kind of like, I would say they're the gothiest of the Space Marines.
That is
actually,
considering the world you have presented, like, that is a very bold statement.
Yeah, how do they
goth,
distinguish themselves?
Goth in mall kid terms.
Okay,
yes,
all right.
Like the most right. hot topic of yep. Space Marine factions are
Adorable.
The Raven Guard. They actually have beaks on their helmets, like beaky helmets.
Aww.
Which I was like, okay, let's see. Murderous birds. Not really super highly ranked in terms of like how people would shake out Space Marine factions, right? So I'm going to make them South Carolina. Just I'm going to take the easy bait. I'm going to go ahead and hand them over to South Carolina. And then the
South
last
Carolina goths. That's a rough adolescence.
Our respect
hot
for
weather
hot weather goths on this
hot
show
weather
is
goths. Shouts out.
Longstanding.
Yeah.
That is a commitment to a lifestyle.
And I only have one more.
I would love if Shane Beamer shows up to SEC Media Days dressed as the Crow. Like, just head to toe. It'd mm-hmm. be fucking awesome.
You know,
awesome.
he's got
right?
fairly prominent cheekbones.
Like, you can see it.
I can.
My last one is the Death Watch. They are sort of the all-star team assembled to kill aliens. They are literally all transfers from somewhere else. So they're Ole Miss. That's it.
That's good.
All transfers. Yeah.
That's good. I'm really glad you broke down so many chapters. And like there's a lot more. And you can make your own. But that was great. I didn't even have it on my all of them in detail on my list. So
yeah.
You went above and beyond for those.
So which of these do you all play?
We're not there yet.
We're not there yet. I want to make it clear, by the way, if I had to put the Space Marines as a category, that's the Big Ten. The Big
oh,
Ten, the right?
Man.
Like what?
Yeah,
we're
just
kids
big
of the
stocky
Emperor.
Dorks.
Yeah, big stocky dorks. Who would have unnecessary?
Their shoulders, their shoulders are like five times the size of a human head.
Right.
Probably way more
yes.
than that. Way, way, way more than that.
And
but
who
they're
gets,
just.
Who, yeah, who gets absolutely owned by aliens? That's right, the Big Ten. The Big Ten.
Yeah.
That's in the aliens,
have,
you'll see. I've cast them carefully.
So the Space Marines at large, I have them. They are largely based on Roman legions. So I have them as the biblical Rome, just because it's like it's very, very prominent throughout the New Testament. This is kind of the main thing going on. It's not good. To be clear, the Space Marines are the main character, and they are not good. So, yeah.
We're going to stick with exactly what they're based on. Up next, I think one of the, gosh, one of the, maybe one of the 3 to 5 funniest, the Tao.
So I said that the Ultramarines were the neoliberal faction.
But all you said to counter that was taxes are bad. So really,
he said taxes are good.
So really, all you said is that they're not libertarian.
That's correct.
Like, you didn't necessarily box that in.
Oh, there are.
That doesn't sound like Spencer to just throw something out and then not define it accurately. Or
is on one hand, it's like, yeah, taxes are good, but on another hand, it's like, do you like roads?
How about this? The Ultramarines are kind of like, the Ultramarines are the people who have, like, in every poll where there's like the undecided voter right in the middle. Mm-hmm. That's the Ultramarines. Mm. The Tau is like the actual neoliberals.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Yeah, we're just doing this for the greater good.
This is McKinsey.
Okay. Yeah, we're just doing this for the greater good. Sorry. And if you don't like it, we'll split you in half with a railgun from 30 miles away. That's the Tau.
That does sound nice.
Yeah, the Tau are this...
That's just a nice bunch of boys.
The Tau are actually, as a group, they're probably the nicest alien race because they'll just they'll be like, hey, do you want to be one of us? Cool. Right? Everyone else, when they meet you, they're like, you want to be one of us? Too bad. Like,
and this includes the humans. So the Tau nicer than the humans, without question.
Without question, yeah. Because they are, as long as you embrace being one of them, you're totally cool. Right?
If they don't, they will lobotomize you. They might, even if you do.
Yes, sorry. They might. Also, you might be, there's this like whole sort of rumor in the lore that maybe you're being hypnotized. Maybe you're being mind controlled into just this good feeling of fellowship and being part of a community. Maybe not. Who knows? The Tau, to me, let's see, score lots of points, kill people at a distance, right? With big strikes, right?
They have a lot of them are based on based on anime, a lot of Gundam, a lot of big robot with sarcastically big gun, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, and they don't really, they make pretty consistent appearances in the universe, but like, they're not like mainline. They're not like super. They're basically like a second tier kind of character in the universe.
Excited
as a whole.
To see who you're going to piss off with this,
right? But they're good. They're good, right?
They're good. They just don't matter. Okay, keep going.
They yes. matter less. They matter less, which is why I have them as the Washington Huskies.
Wow.
Like
okay.
That's yep. You know, when they make appearances, it's impressive. Their offenses can be like super awesome, and then sometimes they get up close to something big and strong and they die. That's pretty much the Tau when you play them, because if you get your guys like if you get the Tau into like a melee fight, they die. That you will lose. But if you don't get near them, they'll just cut you up.
Yeah, it's sort of like you look up in October and like, oh, Washington 7-0, that's cool. Who have they played? Oh, no.
Oh, no.
The bad stuff's coming. The Tau, my favorite thing about them is they're like the newbies. They're the newly spacefaring empire, and they're still like naive and idealistic. They don't understand how bad things they are. They're the ones I've described. They don't realize they're in Warhammer, but they slowly realize it, and they realize they have to become evil in order to survive. This is like the first like 500 years of Christianity, where like in the New Testament the disciples are like, oh, cool, we're gonna beat Rome, right? No, that's not what we're gonna do. We're all gonna get killed. Right, yeah, and then Rome's 400 years later, we're going to kill everyone else. So, yeah. The last, before our final two, one of the, in my opinion, three factions with a chance to win, this might be the final boss of the entire thing, the Tyranids.
Okay, so Tyranids, aliens from Alien, right, in the Alien franchise, basically. Another blatant theft of IP.
You already used them, but okay.
These are not Egyptian.
Egyptian. No. I mean, aliens. Like, remember Xenomorphs. Gene Stealer cults worship the Tyranids, right? That's the aliens that we were referencing, right? And then the Tyranids show up and they're like, thanks, and they eat them. That's what they do. So what you need to know about
Snacks.
Tyranids, the whole universe might, like, large swaths of the universe might be made of them. Like, they just might be, they might be everywhere. When they show up, they destroy everything and eat it, right? Why? Just because they're hungry. They need biomass, right? The only way to starve them is to not fight them. That's it, okay? They just keep showing up. They show up in huge waves. They're controlled by a central authoritarian mind that constantly adjusts its tactics so that you can't hurt them the same way twice. All right. They're fast. They're brutal. They're strong. And really, their only MO is continuing to kill to exist. That's it. Roll. Damn, yep. Tide.
Okay. Yep. Sure.
Seeing Roll Bama week one tide. On the schedule is the same situation everyone in this lore universe finds themselves in when they stop fighting each other long enough to think about the Tyranids that are on the way.
Yeah.
This a biblical plague of locusts is pretty on the nose. And finally, all right, final two. My faction, let's go, girls. The only faction that has anything to do with women. The Sisters of Battle, Adeptus Sororitas, the military arm of the Imperial Church, which is founded based on a stupid, basically the same thing as the Lord of the Rings joke, I am no man, right? Someone said the church can't employ fighting men. Some smartass said, well, you know what we can employ then, right? So they have an all-female space murder nuns fighting corps. All deeply, deeply indoctrinated. They hate heretics more than anything in the world. They will shoot you in the face. They would prefer burning you alive. But obviously, I play a sort of a spinoff chapter. We are we're dabbling in heresy ourselves. But yeah, my favorite. I love all their lore and
they're like vessels or churches and organs and shit.
Yeah, so they have here. Let me show you. one of their vehicles is this. It's sort of like a rolling pipe organ that shoots missiles from. Yeah, Spencer got me this for Christmas. It shoots missiles from the pipes. They're like a space landing vehicle. Is a cathedral that falls from space, and then they start deploying out of it and shooting shit.
Okay.
Everything Love they have it. Is like the most over the top satire of Catholicism you can imagine.
Okay.
Skulls Jason. Everywhere.
Yes.
Yes. So let's see.
Jason, I also remember you telling me at one point that they are like the most enthusiastic, like enthusiastic martyrs is not even the word for it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. They
like dying is like, a sacrament.
Yeah. Like the Astra Militarum, if you say you're going to die today, they say, okay. You tell the sisters they're going to die today. They're like, fuck yes.
Yeah. Finally. That's it. They're only superpower. Yeah. Their only superpower is belief. Right. So
yeah,
let's see.
Yeah. They're like the Militarum. Those are just guys in pants. These are just ladies just walking around and believe and achieve is the entire motto.
Really shouldn't be here in terms of power. Right. In terms of size and power, a religious fervor, second to none. Occasionally visited by the inspirational spirit of somebody with long flowing hair who leads them to greatness before departing.
Oh, this is right? mean. This is mean-spirited
mm-hmm.
of you. We like the space nuns.
All they got is belief. All they got is belief. You may not believe in little old Sisters of Battle.
But actually, you know what? I take it back. You're calling Clemson Catholic, and that's extremely funny.
We've built.
And you're calling them girly. Yeah.
We've built... This and, faction in the name, image, and likeness of the Lord.
You're also calling them sincerely right. committed to their faith, yep. which is
yeah. You're saying
funny
you're saying they
way.
Actually give a shit of it about any of the stuff they talk yeah. about.
Clemson okay, University, no, that all Catholic girls school.
Clemson University. You are the sisters.
I love
battle.
It. All okay. in. Let's go.
Okay.
This is, in biblical terms, this is Deborah. A woman who shows up in a long story of men and just kills all of them because they're not godly enough.
Hey, y'all, come on down to Nuke Spring.
And finally,
it's we've time. Saved the best. We've saved the best for last.
It's time. To
First of all, before you reveal the name, I want you to make the noise. What is the noise that this army makes?
You got the fighting Warriors.
Yes.
That's a... Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I chose the most... Yeah,
you've upset
you
the dog.
That is right. Jason has led us down the primrose path into the most anarchic of all factions, the orcs. The orcs are without reason. When the Tau are cataloging species as they begin to explore the universe in their spacefaring phase, they encounter different people. Humans, sure, be part of the Tau. You know, Eldari, sure, be part of the Tau. They encounter orcs, and the Tau attempt to send emissaries to the orcs, and the orcs are ultimately judged to be without worth as they will not compromise and keep killing everybody the Tau sent. Like, would you like to parley? Ah! And they do this like three or four times before they're like, no, they have no value. All they want is loot. Orcs are green. They are huge. They are a devolved species from a much larger and more evolved species that beat themselves into stupidity. They are innumerable. They are a fungus that you cannot kill that becomes, that manifests itself in the form of these giant, unstoppable green people who really all they want to do is collect teeth, which are their currency, and they want loot. And then they want to get a good crump in.
You have selected the Philadelphia Eagles as your army, sir.
If we could not, if we were doing the NFL, first pick green, uncivilized, yes, anarchic,
respect only strength,
ungovernable, respect only strength. Like, literally, like, the orc system of government is, are you the biggest one?
Like, yes. Just, and it's like, yeah.
I'm like a Pennsylvania senator.
They elected the largest guy.
Yes.
He must be the smartest.
He must be the one.
He's the Jason Kelsey of politics. I love him.
I don't see why we can't conscript the Eagles for our purposes.
Sure.
Like the Eagle, like I have a college football pick, and we will get to that in a second, but let me make it clear. It is not as good as the Eagles pick, okay? Because you know what the orcs would do? They would throw batteries. They would see Santa Claus and throw batteries at him. They would see Michael Irvin potentially paralyzed on the field and go, this good, good crump. That's what they would do, and they would applaud it. This is 100% an Eagles fan. But we can't use the Eagles because we're doing college football. So
we got rules now, huh?
So yeah. If I had to pick the one that would be that would conquer everything if they weren't too busy beating each other's brains in, if I picked the ones that literally looted on occasion when they came and drank every town dry, if I had to pick the ones that you would least want to encounter in a melee battle, who are invulnerable to everything but their own foolishness, that is right. I will go ahead and take the LSU Tigers as the orcs of college football. They would conquer everything if they could just stop beating each other's brains in.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe this is another faction you've told me about. Because I want to emphasize, this podcast is not the only place by far under which any of us talk to Spencer about Warhammer, whether we want to or not.
Lucky
but
you.
Are the orcs the one who, through the sheer power of belief, can make something happen, like can make a broken weapon work or something like that?
Yeah.
Tell me, do the space breathing metaphor, because that's what made it work for me.
So like, yeah, they're each a little bit psychic, so that if they all believe something, it will 100% become true. To me, the LSU correlative on this is Saturday night, right? Like, we all believe Saturday night.
Yeah. It's dark, right. You'll see us.
Which, right. You know, like, every college football right. fan base is like, Saturdays are special here, but, like, LSU fans all believe at once, like, no, this place demonically possessed, and we have given it power simply
when really
belief.
It's just extra, extra moist.
Right, and they might be right.
Right.
The no. thing that, the illustration that Holly's talking about is that at one point, orcs are working on a spaceship, because sometimes orc spaceships have decks, and by that I mean observation decks, where they could just walk out into space and look around, and they're just hammering on the outside of this spaceship, and suddenly a patio, right?
Like, which, again, very LSUVian.
Spaceship with a drop top, right?
Yep.
And they're just cruising around, and one orc from another ship comes over wearing a spacesuit and goes, hey, why aren't you guys all dead? And all of the guys working outside immediately go like, and die. Because
because doubt has entered their mind. Because
doubt
that it was fine.
Yeah.
Like Wile E. Coyote looking down and realizing he's not standing on a cliff.
Mm-hmm. Which, if you want to explain any LSU team, right, you're like, how did they do that? You're like, they didn't look down. They didn't look down.
Yeah.
They didn't look down. That's going on the DVD cover. so the biblical corollary for the orcs, of course. Let's see. We have definitely not afraid of conflict. sent via a very mysterious power to Earth in order to begin doing these conflicts. When this thing is killed, its body has these powers and these essences that can be transferred into another body. And actually, if you kill it, it's just going to come back. So that's the orcs are Jesus, of course.
Jesus was very good at a tailgate. So,
yeah, this tracks. Jesus was an LSU fan. It's clear.
Flipping tables. And we're back to the Eagles. Shit.
So that's it. All right. Page 2.